Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Be seated. In our custom, in this church, in most churches, there is an order of reading of Scripture that is built around the Gospels in a 3-year cycle of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the Gospel of John is sprinkled across the 3 years, as I have often said. This year, it was an option to have this particular reading from the first chapter of John to be read Christmas Eve, instead of the Luke chapter 2 passage. Can you possibly imagine what that would have been like?
I missed it.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That doesn't sound like Linus. All things came into being through him. Mary, shepherds. Without him was not one thing that came into being. This was the man sent from God whose name was John. Angels, where are the angels? And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. Oh, that's getting better. The glory is of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The law and deed was given to Moses, but the three kings, where are they? John's Gospel begins at the beginning of the cosmos, the idea of all created existence coming forth from the very nature of God as we Christians understand God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the nature of what does it mean to have Jesus as Messiah, the anointed one of Christ, to show us by his life example and sacrifice what is the meaning of God and divinity. The other Gospels don't go that far back. The very first Gospel we think ever put together and organized from all the stories that were told by the early Christians around the time of Paul and his writings, letters, is Mark's Gospel. But Mark's Gospel, as you know, begins with Jesus' commissioning as Messiah under Jordan. So Jesus is an adult. There is no story of his childhood at all. Matthew's Gospel provides some much more material, a little bit more about Joseph than Mary, to be fair. And Matthew's genealogy goes all the way back. He didn't try to trace his roots, and so he goes all the way back to Abraham, father of Israel. Luke, not content with that lineage, creates his own story of the narrative of Jesus. A lot more Mary. Annunciations and other kinds of her place in her role features much more prominent in this gospel. And Luke's genealogy, Jesus doesn't stop at Abraham. Luke goes all the way back to Adam. And the nature of Luke's gospel is that the whole realm of the world, which is supposed to be the Roman Empire, would come under the domination, the idea, the influence, the structure, the redemption of Jesus, so that every human being through Adam on forward would be brought into the fullness of the realm of God. Now, John isn't content with Adam. John's nativity story goes all the way back to the start of human existence. Not exactly very romantic. Not exactly going through the Christmas carols that we would think. So I just don't know what would happen. You know, a cold slap in the face of folks coming in for our beautiful Christmas Eve service. We have, you know, a home dinner. We've had probably a couple glasses of wine. Most notably, probably something more. And then you bring your friends and relatives from out of town. You come into church. In the beginning was the Word. Not the warm fuzzies that go with a typical Christmas story. But there's something going on in John's Gospel you'd like us to know, and it is precisely this, that we Christians live in a world of juxtaposition. We, you and I, live not quite opposition, but in juxtaposition to the world around us. Not anything particularly wrong with a great dinner and a couple glasses of wine, if that's our fit, but not the point. John's Gospel juxtaposes light and darkness throughout his Gospel. It's a continual reference point for all of us. We Christians, in the same way, have that reference point in the other Gospels as well. The peace of Rome, enforced at the point of the spear, is juxtaposed to the peace of Jesus, hanging on a cross and self-sacrifice. All of the general ways in which our culture would like us to behave, most of them, begin with what can we get for ourselves in our careers and in our lives and in our accomplishments and debt. The Christian juxtaposition is what can you help other people become? I was talking to my fellow priest who's retiring soon, I'm not. And he was thinking, the question was, what does he want to do when he's retired? For him, the question was, what do I want to be when I'm retired? And that seems to be the Christian juxtaposition. Not what do you want to do, what do you want to get, who do you want to be? And to become people of light is perhaps the most profound meaning of what our celebration of Christmas is. Of all the visual sights and smells, of all the carols, of all the joy and the gift giving, is precisely that idea of how do we want to help other people become part of the light. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty tired at this point in our celebration. We're only, 6 days in to a 12-day carol thing? So, yeah, there has been a lot going on in Holy Spirit, and it's been fabulous and graceful. So, part of our understanding is with all the fuss, with all the action, the biggest thing we want to sort of sense and reflect upon is that after all the gift-giving, all the wrappings have been thrown in the fireplace and used as turned up for the kindling, how whatever feast we have going, and then in preparation for the next one, which is New Year's Eve, have we breathed in the light and received light and given it? Because in the beginning of our lives was light, and at the end of our lives will be light. So that across the days and the years and the decades of our life, are we people of light? And can we shine more brightly for others?